This is KJZZ's Here and Now in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. President-elect Donald Trump has named retired General James Mattis as his choice to be the next U.S. Defense Secretary. That'll require legislation because Mattis has not been out of uniform for 7 years, a requirement if a military man is going to lead the Pentagon. Trump has also been considering former General David Petraeus for a couple of positions, and Michael T. Flynn is Trump's pick to be National Security Advisor. So is Trump more focused on military men than his predecessors? Does that give us a clue on his points of view and the direction he wants for the U.S. military? With me to talk about that and other items is Daniel Rothenberg, co-director of the Center on the Future of War at ASU. He's also the author of Drone Wars, Transforming Conflict, Law and Policy. And Daniel, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Let's talk, first of all, about this legislation. Why was it initially created to have this time in between when a member of the military is in the military and then moves into a position at the Pentagon?
So it's a long-standing respect for the idea that the military should be under civilian control. So the president is the commander-in-chief, and the secretary of defense is expected to be either a civilian, that is someone who hasn't, a civilian who hasn't served in the military, or someone who's got a long enough period of time between their service, 7 years, that it ensures and respects this basic division.
Was it out of concern that there we don't want too much of the military-industrial complex, as it were? Is there something behind that? Because even when we see some of the potential nominees of President-elect Trump, most of the people, at least, come with good resumes and people respect them. But are a lot of them being in the military? Does that concern some folks?
Well, obviously, it concerns people. I think people should be concerned about cabinet nominations just generally. They're important positions, and they're an interesting point of debate and discussion. And so I think, you know, there's some heated debate out there, but that's a sign of a healthy situation rather than the opposite.
But that's the politics of it. I guess when it comes down to practical matters, do you think it is significant whether there's an Ash Carter or whether there's a Leon Panetta, or whether it's General Mattis, as far as just what their specific backgrounds are? Should we be looking more at philosophies or from which field they've come from?
Well, it's too, you know, General Mattis is clearly a selection that plays to an enormous amount of respect for his person, for his career. So it's a very smart choice. I don't think it's that sensible to only speak about whether somebody was a general or wasn't a general. These are important positions. National security is a key decision. It's one of the areas where the executive has the most power. I think the debates are fascinating. I think there are a lot of reasons why Trump is selecting so many generals that are not about whether or not generals per se are appropriate, but about the state we're in right now in the country.
Yeah, so what does that indicate to you about his philosophies or about how he sees the greater world?
Well, I think one key point is that when we look at politicians in general, they have enormously low approval ratings right now in the country. That's actually true for the media. That's true for many core institutions. Interestingly, the military has among the higher approval ratings, and I do think, and there is some danger to this, but I do think that by choosing generals, it's a selection that plays to a sort of generalized popular support and respect.
Do these generals, the ones we have heard about so far at least, General Mattis, Flynn, we're hearing about John Kelly,
Petraeus possibly.
Petraeus as well. Are these gentlemen that would fall into a similar category in terms of what their experiences have been, what their philosophies have been?
So no, I think is the quick answer.
Good. Yeah.
They're quite different individuals. I think what does make them similar, of course, is that they've served during a particularly interesting and intense time of the military's role in the world. So they've all been serving in combat tours, and they've played key leadership roles in managing, you know, whether it's Southern Command in Kelly's situation or Petraeus being both running the CIA and also, you know, running operations Afghanistan, Iraq. So, but I think they're very different as individuals. They're very different in their philosophies. Surely anybody paying attention to just the regular news reporting can see an enormous distinction between the positions and attitude and tone of a Mattis appointment or nomination and a Flynn appointment. I think certainly we've seen in his post-military career a series of statements that are of enormous concern to people around the world for the role of National Security Advisor, although one might see a balancing effect by choosing, say, a Mattis or a Kelly, people with very different sort of public demeanors and public expressions of their opinions.
Do you think it is fair to parse through what each of these gentlemen has said? Do you think what's being said about Flynn is not taking enough into account what he had done as a general? Are we focusing too much on some things he said that may offend some people? I mean, is that something that should affect whether we decide whether someone is qualified for a job or not, especially of this serious level?
So there's no reason to deny respect for his significant military accomplishments. You know, he played this key role in Joint Special Operations Command in Iraq at a time when among the more significant, at least tactical, actions was to create a whole new approach to attacking al-Qaeda Iraq. So no reason to not respect him for that. But at the same time, the kind of statements that he has made and the sort of, you know, information that he has tweeted and his incredibly aggressive tone in the political sphere, you know, openly in the political sphere, leading chants of lock her up, surely that has to be taken into account when one's considering a role like national security advisor.
And we'd also heard, actually, and I don't know where this goes, because we had heard there were four finalists for Secretary of State, and apparently that had expanded, one of whom was General Stavridis, so also another person.
Correct.
Is it as obvious as it seems that Donald Trump is considering or hiring more of these former members of the military? You mentioned how it reflects how our world is today, but does it seem to stand out as much as it feels to someone like me?
Yes, right. I mean, it's clearly a different approach to what it means to assemble a cabinet. What it means in terms of being good or not good is difficult to evaluate. Mm-hmm. These are strong figures and strong personalities. I do think it's the cause of some concern, for example, to nominate somebody like General Kelly for a position in Homeland Security, because one of the areas where I think Homeland Security, we may not want to see that department be going is greater militarization. Mm-hmm. There's enormous dangers to that track, but then again, we don't really know what that appointment necessarily means. In the case of someone like Mattis, we have some indications of what we think he would support and how he'd operate. And, you know, certainly he's one of the most respected generals around. I think the idea of choosing generals per se is not necessarily a problem, although it does tell us something about the Trump approach to assembling his cabinet.
What about how the military has changed? Does that give us any insights in terms of what a general would have been thought of in the days of Eisenhower or Patton, and what an experience a general would have had now in terms of the changing technology, in terms of strategy? When we're talking about Petraeus or Kelly, and as you said, they're all very different in terms of what they've done and perhaps their philosophies as well. Are we seeing an evolution in the military when it comes to this? So when we think of a general, we're thinking of someone in a different way than we would have 5 decades ago. And is that an evolution you expect to continue?
Well, as somebody who co-directs something called the Center on the Future of War, there is a fairly heated debate as to what is changing or not changing about the characteristics of war and conflict. Mm-hmm. So there are some things we know are significant changes in, say, the past 5 decades in the U.S. For example, the percentage of Americans who are directly engaged in military activity has become much smaller at a time when there's been a lot of demands made on the military. And by demands, I mean specific combat demands in the post-9/11 wars. So we see an interesting situation where our country is at war. Politicians tell us it's been at war since shortly after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And yet the society doesn't feel the impact and salience and intensity of what we expect war to mean. That puts special pressures on civil-military relations. I think all of these generals have lived through elements of that. What that experience means for their role in essentially civilian positions is an open question. I think they'll be different as individuals. We don't know where they're going to go. I think we need to be careful and respectful of this fundamental principle that the military and its enormous force and capabilities should be under civilian control. So this is something worth thinking about. It's too early in the game to know what it means, but these are generals who've lived through this incredibly intense post-9/11 period. And surely our society, it's an appropriate time, through this cabinet or through other processes, to reflect on what that means for all of us.
Something to watch very closely. Daniel Rothenberg is co-director of the Center on the Future of War at ASU. He's also the author of Drone Wars, Transforming Conflict, Law, and Policy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.